with certified financial planner Dave Petzo. Dave answers your questions about personal finance. He provides insight into making the most on your money using over 20 years of experience. Money Matters is brought to you in part by Petzo Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank, with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Petzo, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional. And now the host of Money Matters, Dave Petzo.
Good morning and welcome to Money Matters. I'm Dave Petzo. Every week I go in and visit with Kevin Miller and have an absolute blast. It's about 30 minutes every Monday. We're going to go ahead and replay that, and I'll be talking to you live in about 30 minutes.
Hi, the KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning, our great friend Dave Petzo with us. Dave, good to have you with us.
Always good to be with you.
You know, thank you for coming to our great debate watch party last week at Angels. We'll have another one this Thursday night. What was that like for you, seeing just so many folks fired up about politics? I know on Money Matters and at the Petzo Center, you always rally people to get involved.
Yeah, Kevin, it was a great turnout. Obviously it was super, and you did a great job getting around and seeing everybody. So I just enjoyed watching you work the room. It was fun. It was enjoyable. Yeah, I thought it was. I enjoyed the event, and I'm glad they had such a good turnout there.
Well,
it was great to see Angels up and going again too, right?
It is, and you know, such a Treasure Valley institution. Russell does such a great job there with the staff. When we take a look at just the presidential campaign, you heard Marco Rubio calling Donald Trump a con man, his spray on tan, Donald Trump going after these guys. I think we've lost focus, and we're focusing in on personality as opposed to real-life problems, most notably the economy and what happens next.
Well, I would agree with that, except it seemed to work pretty well for Trump, right? I mean, he certainly went after every one of the candidates, and it seemed to work for him. So maybe they're trying to fire back because it worked so well for Trump. But I agree with you, Kevin. I'd like to see some substance brought back into the debate. I thought initially that's exactly what the Republican Party was doing with the debates. The debates were substantive questions, other than I know CNBC was a little bit off on theirs, but for the most part, the questions have been good, and the answers have been thoughtful. The candidates are just super good candidates. Many are super successful as governors, but they're winding it down now, and all those guys are gone, and we're looking to an outsider. So it's an interesting year, to say the least.
It is indeed. Let's talk about some of the big money stories of the day. You have Warren Buffett saying the economy is good, that the politicians are wrong. Do you agree with Mr. Buffett?
I do to a degree. I enjoy his optimism, as you might think I would, Kevin. But I do think that it's a puzzle in my own mind as to why. And I don't think it's the politicians at all. I think it's the way society is. So I disagree with him on that statement. I do find it puzzling, Kevin, that people are so incredibly negative, and have been for quite some time. I agree that that America doesn't lead in the world right now, that we've got a horrible president and administration that has run amok. I get that. But overall, we act like we're living in some kind of a depression, and it's really hard to buy food, and I can't hardly afford my $150 a month cable bill anymore. You know, it's astounding all the gifts we have, and yet we don't seem to be at all happy about it.
Well, let's go to the Oracle of Omaha. The View is dead wrong. The babies being born in America today are the luckiest crop in history. Mr. Buffett, writing for his newsletter in Berkshire Hathaway, reaffirmed his confidence that the future of the country, saying that America's golden goose of commerce and innovation will continue to lay more and larger eggs. Mr. Buffett wrote, since 1930, real gross domestic product, the standard measure of economic output adjusted for inflation, has grown a staggering 6 times on a per capita basis. He even added, at the current growth rate of 2%, which has caused concern among economists, GDP will outpace population growth over the next quarter century and lead to 34.4% gain, or 19,000 per capita. Can you make sense of any of that?
Well, sure. I think I can make sense of all of it, Kevin. He's saying our brightest days are ahead of us, not behind us. And I agree. I always have agreed with that statement. It's a sentiment that John Templeton carried for his 90-plus year life and his 50-plus years on Wall Street, where he always talked about the fact of innovation and technology. And we miss it. We miss it all the time. It's there's no difference. And when there's a billion people on Earth, we can't feed them all. Now we have, what, 6-7 billion, and we can't seem to do anything except throw food away. It's technology everywhere. We live longer and longer, more abundant lives. And it is, and it's astounding that we see it completely differently. I agree with him that the United States has its best days ahead if and only if we continue to fight and the good fight for freedom and innovation and get out of the way of the small business. This current government situation is, I don't think we can keep that up and think that America will continue to be the innovator and creator that it that always has been.
Well, let's go back to if elected, if drafted, I will not run. If elected, I will not serve, Dave Pezzo. And let's say you are running for governor.
Okay.
Let's say you, as your experience as a small business person, you're our Donald Trump. Okay?
I don't have orange hair, though.
That's okay. I've got the orange enough hair for both of us. What would you do? Because there are so many people that for years have listened to you, have listened to this show, that are small business folks. And I am so humbled and honored when I meet some of these folks, and whether they're ranchers or business owners, and they talk about, they don't complain, but they share their frustrations mm-hmm. of, you know, double taxation, unemployment insurance, this, that, and the other. What would you do on a state level to unshackle the chains of small business in the Treasure Valley in the state of Idaho?
Kevin, that's a huge question, and of course I'd have to spend a whole lot of serious time thinking
Monday,
about it.
It's Monday, so it's time
Monday,
for a
so now, yeah,
you,
yeah. You just nailed me with just a little one like that, yeah. Well, how'd the market do last week?
That's good news. We don't want to hear about that. You knew it was coming with the buildup.
Right. So, okay.
But I mean, you at the Pezzo Center, you must say to your folks, man, if we just got rid of these blankety-blanks this.
Yeah.
We would have so much more freedom and innovation and really help out the local economy.
I think that the key thing for me as I look at this, and we are right now going through a huge transition, Kevin, where the paper is, we've cut down groves of trees.
Right.
It's astounding what it takes to do, to move.
And then to organize it.
It's an astounding mess. And it's five times what it was 15, 16 years ago. Double what it was 5 years ago. So that leads me to this, Kevin, I think it's fairly straightforward. If we were to really make significant changes, regulation would be the place I would focus. I know everybody talks about taxes, and taxes are a problem, but regulation is that terrible tax. It's your time. It is costly. We hire attorneys just to cover our tails. We have to hire extra people just to file forms with various government agencies. It's gotten completely out of hand, and people aren't talking about it enough in this election. If we could reduce the amount of paper, I think every business person out there, I know I would, just tax me 1% more if you just go make some of that regulation go away. That would make me much more than that 1% tax increase. I'm not saying taxes aren't a problem and a good driver for the economy, but I still think that the regulatory outlook is horrendous and getting worse by the day, and it is a complete cancer to business, and it is not being treated at all right now.
Dave Pezzo with us, Kevin Bilbo in the morning, 580 KIDO. You know, we were talking to Dr. Pate from St. Luke's last week, and we were talking about the Affordable Care Act. Dr. Pate at the time came out against it, was very, very instrumental in organizing resistance to it. And something that he brought up, and this will resonate with you because it's things that you and I have discussed, but he said that we haven't even seen the beginnings. And you have to kind of smile at this because we're about ready to get, I can't even think of a proper verb for this family-friendly show. The screws are going to be put to us not only this year but next year because the federal entitlements that these states have been using mm-hmm. to artificially keep the premiums down
yep.
just in time for the president to leave office
yep.
expire. And I said, Dr. Pate, you're telling me that this year where our premiums in the state of Idaho have gone up 25%, in Minnesota
50% mm-hmm. across the country. That's just the very beginning yeah. of being the screws put to us, if you will. And I remember you talking about this before and after and everything else, the impact that's going to have on businesses.
Yeah.
And never, you know, big or small, and just the economy itself, how can individuals absorb that loss?
Small business is going to have a difficult time. We do need to obviously change the healthcare system. This Obamacare was a throw together, get it passed, hurry up. And even though everybody knew there won't be a price to pay, everybody knew that they were voting for something that as soon as the president left, it would the costs would absolutely skyrocket. And they still voted for it, but I bet you not one Democrat in the House and in the Senate loses their job over it. That's the unfortunate part of this, because it was a giant lie. And Kevin, you and I have talked about this. Well, and it is a real detriment to business
and
the economy.
And remember, the president changed the rules a few times just to make the system to be able to afford itself. And you have people now that are going to just start paying the penalty and gambling with their health. And, you know, it's what, one-fifth, one-sixth of the economy. How can you put it back together? I mean, we've totally destroyed our healthcare system.
Yeah.
And you have people, again, not only the idea of growth being at 2%, but paying more for less services.
Yes, and actually doctors are seeing 30% fewer patients these days because of medical records. They, instead of actually seeing people, they have to run around and chart what they saw. And not that they didn't have to do that at the end of the day anyway, but the system it makes no sense that we have a shortage of doctors. We're going to go ahead and have them see 30% less people. It's bureaucratically a mess as well, Kevin. It's going to be something else over the next couple of years. It really will. You're right.
All right. Now at 580 KIDO, who do you like in the Democrat or the Democrat Republican field? Bernie Sanders? Is Sanders your guy?
Sanders, my man. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought you were one
crazy
of the,
Bernie.
I thought you were one of the two people that have the Sanders socialist sliders at the Angels, but.
Yeah, I missed out on those. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that was Kevin. I think the crop was really good. Trump makes me nervous, but I'll tell you, I had a bit of an epiphany here a week or so ago, and I was just sitting there in my house watching. This is before the Tuesday results came in, and I just went, that's really something. This might be very interesting to totally shake up D.C. because it looks like Trump is on his way to becoming president.
And we'll talk more with Dave Petzl. We'll talk about the markets. We'll talk about your money next. You're listening to Kevin Miller and Dave Petzl on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzl. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580. This is Money Matters with Dave Petzl on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KIDO.
Kevin Miller in the morning, our great friend Dave Petzl with us as we continue on. So let's talk a little bit about the markets. What was the report card?
The market did great. Had a great week last week. Again, it's a lot better than it was at the beginning of the year. A lot more stable here since the first 2 weeks of January. It's not without a little bit of volatility, but it's not bad at all. It's been fine, and this is what markets do, Kevin. We just decide we have to run around with our hair on fire and talk about how it's going to get worse, much worse, much, much, much worse. It's way worse this time than ever before, and that markets hardly ever correct, except they do, on average, a 10% or greater correction once every 14 months, just about once a year. So when it happens, I don't know why we run around all nervous about it, but we do. We do. It's not just a news cycle either, Kevin.
It's something to do.
I know, but it's crazy. Why we feel like we can't sit on our hands and let our portfolio work for us, I'm not sure.
Yeah, but when you see those losses coming in, people get nervous.
They're only losses if you sell, my friend. They're only gains if you do, too. I mean, it really, if we think of this as an income piece, if you think of it like a business, and you own this business, and it's generating more and more and more income to you year after year, decade after decade after decade. And then you turn around one day and somebody tells you, you know, I just read a report that your business is worth less, 25% less. You go, oh, my gosh, I better sell. Why would I do that? Why would I care? People don't trade businesses that way, and yet they trade pieces of paper that represent businesses in the exact same manner, and they do it every day to their detriment on the New York Stock Exchange. They go crazy when you have an opportunity to buy the greatest businesses in the world and leave them alone and enjoy higher income all the days of your life. Why do we do this?
Dave Petzl with us as we continue on, taking a look at the front page of today's Wall Street Journal section on the economy. One way to make mortgages easier to get. The government, investors, and lenders are teaming up to revive the market for mortgage bond issued by private financial institutions, including bonds backed by subprime borrowers, in a bid to broaden access to home loans. You agree with that?
I agree with the, you know, I think the markets do a fine job of taking care of the lenders. What we didn't do is do a good job when the government stepped in and said everybody needs to get a loan, and we mean it. I don't care about the people that we need you to loan money to people that will not pay their debts. And then, of course, there's plenty of blame to go around. Then, of course, that turned into all kinds of guarantees on those loans through Fannie and Freddie. And then we turned around and made nice derivatives out of it and nearly brought down the entire system. So I do not have a great deal of respect for bureaucrats making rule decisions that force lending. I think that the markets will take care of themselves just fine in that regard, and people don't like to lose money. They don't like to lend money that doesn't get paid back. So I think that they will do fine with more minimal regulation.
All right, we continue on. Our great friend Dave Petzl with us. And I know you're a fan of this next question because we're seeing this all the time. Computers taking over more and more of our daily lives, cars that are going to be driven by robots or self-driving cars.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that hits close to home, Dave Petzl. Can robo-advisors replace human advisors, from the Wall Street Journal today?
Yes, and they will. I think that they will, to a degree. I don't know how long it'll be before the computers really can think well. But let's face it, Kevin, if we continue in a world that has products that people push that are extremely high commission, that do trap people in them, that people, I think, over time will, in fact, gravitate towards not having a, quotes, insurance salesman, annuity salesman. And I think the lower end will begin to gravitate that way. But I do think for a long time that the higher end, the experienced advisory firm, if you will definitely have a place out there. I think that people do need life coaches. They need help. And I see this day in and day out. The other problem, Kevin, is people's behavior is really the problem, and people don't behave well, as we've been talking about well now for 27 or 28 years on air. People don't behave well in the market. They sell when prices drop. They buy when prices rise. And they repeat that behavior over and over again and wonder why they aren't very successful investors. So I think that that can help. But, again, if you're talking about the lower end, I think that's going to be happening within just a few years.
Our great friend Dave Petzl with us as we continue on. All right, you have the floor. What would you like to talk about? You know, at Channel 7 that usually set the agenda here, you have to go through my Byzantium questions before we get to the real news.
Get to what I want to talk
about?
Yes. All right. Well, I'm going to I just thought of something I want to talk about. How much time do we have here?
Much time as you want.
All right. Well, let me tell you, I this is something, and I'm going to borrow from Warren Buffett's letter over the weekend, where he talks about the fact that America's best days are ahead of it. We need to be thinking that way, and I wish that this wasn't such a ridiculous political season, because I think we can address it in the positive way. Ronald Reagan did politically, and he won the day. He won the day handily, and he continued to govern that way. And that is not from a point of pessimism and that it's all bad, and we always get gypped out or screwed on one thing or another. You know, we're not losing out to the Chinese.
Are you the anti-Trump right now?
Well, in part, yeah.
Is this the day where you announce your candidacy right here?
Right. I it's not just Trump. It's all of them. And it's not that it's all good. And that's part of the political season. We have to talk about changes that need to be made. This guy is in the White House has got to go. I totally get that. But we don't lose out to the Chinese. Everything in the world is made by Americans. Everything. Everything else is copied everywhere else. We're the great innovators. We're the great creators. And all we have to do is continue to fight for our liberty and our freedom and get government bureaucrats out of the way. And I think, Kevin, we're going to continue to do very, very well. What it really hurts and why it's so important is not just this flavor of optimism for just to feel better. Of course, that's good. But the reason people don't invest is in the greatest investments that there are and that have ever been created is because of fear. They just are afraid. And so we all, everything on the internet is all negative all the time. All the headlines, all negative all the time. And yet we can't grab on to the fact that the world has never been more abundant, that people have never lived this long, this healthy, this abundantly, and we're just getting going with technology in so many areas. I can't imagine what healthcare is going to be like in 10 or 20 years. We, yes, have to deal with the problems. But, Kevin, this is a very abundant and great place and great time to be alive.
Dave Pezzo.
Did I hit the end of the hour or half hour?
You know, it's funny because we've got Terry from State College, Pennsylvania, but that would be another hour.
Yeah. No.
If people would like to get a hold of you, what can they do?
Best way is either, you know, obviously they can give us a call, but it's petsofinancial.com, P-E-T-S-O-Financial.com. Shoot us an email. Look us up there. We'd be happy to visit with you.
Dave Pezzo, as always, the optimistic one here.
Kevin, well, somebody has to, right?
I'm fighting the urge to come back at you with all the negativity.
Well, I'm glad you're fighting it today. Just let it go. Just let it go. Let it absorb there, Kevin.
Right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. You're listening to Kevin Miller on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's Talk Station.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat, and apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable, but how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopRex.org. Brought to you by the...
Okay, so we've got... Is it all bad news? Is it a mixed bag? Is it always uncertain all of the time? Yeah, it is. It is. You know, if we have, this is the interesting thing to me when we're thinking about the markets, and we are thinking about whether the economy's good, is it generally in an upturn or not? And first of all, before I even dive into that, is the economy ever actually good these days? I mean, literally, if there was like a, you know, money fairy that dropped $1,000 on everybody in our country, I don't know. Let's make it a really important amount of money. $100,000 on every person in the country. What do you think the headlines would read? Magic fairy gives incredible gift. Do you think that would be the headlines? Or it'd be something like, you know, magic fairy drops money, inflation ready to rip, could unstabilize the whole economy. Nations around the world panic. Central bankers emergency meeting. We found this CIA guy, retired CIA guy, that thinks that Putin's behind the deal. We think it's part of the Shemitah and Blood Moon conspiracy. That's what the headlines would read. They would, wouldn't they? They really would. But we take them in all the time. All the time. We don't even stop to realize that what we're digesting constantly Give me some more financial pornography. I'm sure I'll see the world more clearly that way. Let me check another blog. Let me check another website about why the world is ending. And then I want to just go about my life in a positive way. Just pour some more on. And that's the way we see it all the time. But here's also what people miss. Let me circle back. When things appear reasonably good, again, if we get past the, you know, this is actually good. This was a good economic report, but, and then we have put in all the negatives. So we leave going, huh? I wonder if that was that good? Let's suppose we actually agree upon something. Let's suppose we actually agree that the economy is good. Think about the times when the economy has been good. What that's meant to stocks. This is an incredibly important point. Well, you know, it's the late 90s. We knew the economy was good. It was, because it had been good. Had been great. So great, we're all fully aware, fully embracing that the economy is great. It's 04, 05. We come well off of the recession of 2000 through 02. You see, when the economy looks like it's so bright you got to wear shades, stocks are really, really, really high. Assets, whether it's real estate or stocks, are really, really, really high because they reflect what everybody already knows, that things are good. Things are good, therefore, I'm going to buy stocks, means you will always buy, not just at high prices. No, you'll miss the bargains, of course. I mean, everybody, yeah, I know, I won't get the lowest price. I got, you know, I like dead low, I'll still buy low. Yeah. No, you won't. You won't even buy high. You'll buy super high. Super high. Whenever you invest with certainty, now think about it this way. Let's go away from stocks. Let's go to a government bond. I want maximum certainty. I want a U.S. savings bond. Okay? I know that for those of you who think gold is a safety, I'm sorry. I have no explanation for it. That's all. For the rest of us, let's just accept that the government savings bonds are safe. Your rate of return, your expected return, is it high? Is it medium? No, it's super low. I'm hiding here. I'm hiding here. I expect no return after inflation. None. And history says I won't get any. You may phrase it a different way, and people usually do. They don't usually say, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to invest my money in things that would have no return. That's what I'd like. Nobody says that. They'll say things like, you know, I'm pretty conservative, because it sounds like a really good, you know, word, like not fearful. I'm really conservative. I'm not really scared. I'm just conservative. I'm conservative. And so I want to invest with caution, of course. We don't give the keys to the car to some, right? We want people that are cautious. No, not necessarily. Risk-taking isn't necessarily risk-taking as we see it. And I'm going to second hour. I want to talk about that a lot. A lot. Yeah, we've been talking about investing versus speculating, which really most people think that they're investors when they're not. They're not. They flip from one thing to another. They buy businesses on pieces of paper called stocks and then trade them like they're in trading cards. Nobody does that with a business, but we do with pieces of paper representing those businesses. We'll talk about that in the second hour. But we have to understand this news flow and how we always come back to, Well, you know, things look pretty bad. Of course they look pretty bad. You actually read the news, didn't you? You read a few headlines, boom, looks pretty bad. Done. You watch TV, it looks bad. Listen to the radio, it looks bad, sounds bad. It's bad, 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 all the time bad. We get whacked everywhere in the world. Just ask Donald Trump. We get news everywhere. Oh, that's weird. It's weird that losing everywhere generated us to have the wealthiest nation in the world by far. Our poorest live better than 99% of the people in the world. Our poorest do. And the middle America's like, yeah, you're right. Man, everybody, it's terrible. It's horrible. We lose everywhere. Everywhere. We're losers. We don't make anything. How many times people say, we make nothing here. How come everybody wants to be here? We don't do anything right. We don't make anything. We lose everywhere. We're just losers, losers, losers. We make nothing. The only way that we have so much money is because everybody buys a cup of coffee at Starbucks from each other. Really? Really? That's what we do. Make a few movies that the rest of the world likes. So California's doing okay, and then we all drink coffee. Or, you know, go to coffee shops, whatever. That's it. Really, doesn't anybody stop and go, wait a minute, how can we lose at everything? This isn't an anti-Donald Trump. Listen to all the candidates. We don't lose at everything. We win at everything. Free trade. You want the ultimate example? Britain. Forget about us. Free trade. Britain. Centuries ago, and I know for those of you younger than probably about 30, 35, they used to teach this thing called history in school. And we used to learn about this. Actually, junior high and high school, they had quite a bit of history we learned about. So you may have to go online to discover this. But for those of us who are a little older, we know that Britain dominated the world. Dominated the world. It wasn't close. There was nobody. You know, once in a while, France would poke its head up, and then they'd fire bullets at each other, and then France would go back away. But basically, Britain dominated the world for a long time. And one of the key components to their domination was the fact that they went all over the world and traded with everybody. Now, in order, because, you know, in Britain, it was a higher standard of living. You want to make sure everybody was protected. They must have had lots of tariffs. They had none. They had none. You could go all the way over here, all the way back with the stuff. Feel free to sell it. They were free traders. Free traders. It's one of the underpinnings of their very vibrant economy at the time and their world domination. Same with America, by the way. Same with us. So, not here for a trade war thing. Just saying, wait a minute, time out. What are we saying? What are we, when we try to figure out when we should invest, what the economy looks like, do you think we should look at news flow? The same news flow that is convincing ourselves how poor we are. How we lose everywhere. How we make nothing here. If only it was like the old days. You know, when people would die before they were 65, we wouldn't have a Social Security problem. Yeah, if only that. Gosh. For those of you who are 65 and older, forgive me for this, but you've overstayed your welcome. It's time to go. It's what we say. Right? It's just not working for us. We don't consider the science, the technology, the healthcare advances, we don't consider these to be blessings. Instead, we figure out why they're problems. It's crazy. Everything's bad all the time. And it's not. And I think it distorts our perspective so badly. At a time, frankly, we really need to have clarity. No, we have budget deficit problems. Of course we do. But you know how much that has to do with the market? Nothing. The politicians? Next to nothing. Yes, policy is important. Freedom is important. But we got to quit letting it determine whether we invest, move forward, and really our own perception of ourselves, of our nation, of our economy. What's going on? What's really going on? Because if we don't move forward. We buy products that guarantee things that we know can't be true, that aren't true, and we trap ourselves in that. We don't expand a business. We don't invest at all. Why bother? Because there is a good future. There is. There always has been. There always has been. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We need to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. With Dave Petso on Idaho's talk station, 580-KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. Please do give us a call. Love to hear from you, and, you know, gosh, love to hear what's on your mind. Great week in the market, of course. Great week. Wasn't bad the week before. Another couple points there. Yeah, the market's ripping back, and it wasn't supposed to. It was not supposed to. Remember, this isn't normal. This is not normal at all, this normal gyration. I'm sorry, it wasn't a normal gyration. This time, it was worse. You feel like almost say bring out the clowns, but it doesn't, you know, it just sounds like it's being insulting. But it's much more important than that. Every correction is met by excessive reporting and predicting to the downside. The collapse in oil. Aren't lower oil prices good for the economy? Absolutely they are. Absolutely. I totally grant you that in North Dakota, it's not good for the economy of North Dakota. Got it. Alaska? Nope. Texas? Going to take a little bit of a hit. Not a great hit because they've got such diverse industries there, but a little bit. Everybody else, it's good. But not if you read or listen or actually come out of a cave. It's Armageddon. The problem with ISIS, there's no solution ever. Ever. There's never a solution. And if we think we have resolution to something, it's not long before something else takes its place. We do get resolution on it, of course. And then something else is, but no, this is different. This is different. This is way worse. And that's the steady news flow. Of course it's sad. It's very misleading. It's constant. Now, in the second hour today, I really do want to talk about... This, I think, is very important to actually contemplate and think about. Where are we? Where are we in the market with interest rates and stocks and real estate? Is it all high? Is it too high? I want to kind of look at it because I'm actually going to probably, I think this is probably going to surprise you. I've got a pretty strong opinion of where we are. Yeah, I know. Having a strong opinion, very weird, I know. And I don't want to share it yet. I want to talk about it in the next hour when we've got lots and lots of time. Right now, what I want to do is I want to talk to George. George has got a quick question for us. George, go right ahead.
Yeah, hey, Dave.
Hey, George.
I didn't catch everything what you had to say. I assume you're talking about Trump's talking about tariffs and things like that. But I think two words that kind of explain his appeal is trade deficit.
Mm-hmm.
He pounds on that all the time. Now, I've heard you explain in the past of what your opinion is about free trade and trade deficits and those kinds of things, but maybe you could address that so that we wouldn't be Jonathan Gruber's stupidity of the American voter here.
Okay, George, I'm happy to. It's a great point. And I'm not just picking on Trump. I think it's a broad news. I really am not. I'm moving myself to the to get myself in a more comfortable place with the idea of President Trump. Because I think Trump running against a criminal, I still think Trump wins against the criminal. So,
yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah. Anyway, George, I do think that we, of course, misunderstand trade greatly. And, right. And of course, politics really is all about driving people with a soundbite that has really – it doesn't even matter if the soundbite's true but or is conclusive in its evidence. And that's what I think drives – people, if you will, people like me in what people determine as the establishment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, I'm not in the establishment. I don't even give to the Republican Party. So I'm certainly conservative. I think that I don't hide that very well. And so I'm free to talk about it, but I'm not part of the establishment, but I'm part of the people that like to have thoughtful ideas. How are we actually going to resolve that? What does that look like to you? You know, drawing circles around this, or we're going to make somebody build something for us. What does that look like? And why don't you just quit saying that and tell us how? That's what I'm trying to drive at. Now let me go to the free trade. On the free trade side, all I say is that those countries, all of them, 100% of them, that trade more freely than others, live better.
Mm-hmm.
That's my economic, if you want, that's a bumper sticker. If you want to know why, it's because every industry in that country is now driven to do what they do best and most productively. And every economist in the whole wide world will tell you that if you do what you're most productive at, you will build wealth. If you do what you're least productive at, you will destroy wealth every time. That's as simple as I can make it. But when
that's
we sit
Adam
there.
Smith, isn't it?
Yes. It goes clear back to that, yes. Absolutely. But even when trade was very little at that time. So when we compare one industry to the other and simply say we're taking from one to the other, that's overly simplistic and it's simply not true. We're losing all of our jobs. We are not. We're creating jobs in another area that's more productive as we lose jobs that we aren't very productive at. George, I'm sorry, I'm out of time.
That's good. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, George. Thanks for your call, and we'll talk to you right after the news.
You bet. Bye-bye.
You have cash potential all over your house. That stuff on shelves, in closets, and especially in the garage. It's all waiting to make you money at the 9th annual Idaho's Largest Garage Sale. If you've got stuff you don't use anymore, sell it for cash at Idaho's Largest Garage Sale, Saturday, May 21st at Expo Idaho. Thousands of buyers will flock to Expo Idaho with cash in hand and ready to buy. So start organizing all that cash potential and reserve your space now. All the details are at idahoslargestgaragesale.com.
Hi, this is Brad Dillon. Every Dennis Dillon used vehicle comes standard with our no-haggle, no-hassle, and no-risk guarantee. What does that mean to you? A lifetime warranty on all used vehicles under 70,000 miles. That's right, every vehicle comes with a warranty that's good for as long as you own the car. And if you decide you don't like the car, simply bring it back. Like no-risk Chevy Equinox all-wheel drives with lifetime warranty, now only $19,995. The Dennis Dillon no-risk used car advantage, now at every Dennis Dillon location.
What tax time?
Upcoming. I'm Dave Pezzo, and these are my opinions only. And we're certainly not here to tell you what to buy, or sell, or whether one sector's hot and another one's cold and you should rotate to this or that. There's plenty of noise out there to do that. And if anything, we're the anti that. If you want to call me a buy and hold guy, sure, that's cool. Whatever, it works for most human beings to just put people in a box, right? You know, they're like this, they're conservative, so therefore this is how they feel about things. They're liberals, so they all feel this way about that. And of course, the truth is there's a lot more subtleties to that. But if it helps, then let's just say that. Long term, thoughtful. But the purpose really isn't that. The purpose for us, I think, is to try to slow down. And think better. Be better investors. And being better investors isn't trying to figure out what the future is. It's just simply not knowable. It's beginning to grasp that one simple thought. Oh, there's many thoughts. But, I mean, when we can't grasp the idea that we would have, could have, should have done this or that, that we need to be zigging and zagging, we need to go this way, we need to go that way, we need to put on a hedgy thing, we need to go buy some kind of a, you know, equity index annuity that promises market returns with no risk. Even though we know that's not true. When we are driven that way, we are not getting the picture, are we? At all. We're not getting the picture. When we focus and fixate on whether oil's up or down and isn't that what's driving the market? Really? Yeah, stocks trade in tandem with oil. Always. I just read that the other day. No, they don't. They might in a short period of time, and then they don't. Last week, for example, the market had a great week. Yeah, oil was up. But during the biggest day of the week, oil was down. The biggest up day for stocks. Really? Up? Yeah, it was. Crazy. It doesn't move lockstep. Oil's up maybe because it doesn't look like the world is ending? Huh. Stocks are up because maybe it doesn't look like the world is ending? Maybe they're not just correlated to each other. Maybe they moved on the same news. I don't know. And they don't really move on the same news, right? I mean, the economy keeps getting worse in 2009. Down, 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 down. And the market is skyrocketing. You remember after the market bottomed, I've said this many times, but really think about this number, okay? You know, if numbers aren't easy for you, what you need to do is draw a word picture. Because if you're not going, wow, after I say this, then I might as well have not said it because it doesn't mean anything to you and it needs to mean something. When the world was ending and there was doom and gloom and it just kept getting worse and worse and worse, the market took off suddenly for absolutely no reason beginning of March. It went higher. When I say no reason, I mean the opposite reasons that everybody says. The economic news kept getting worse in March, April, May, June. 90 days later, 90 days, just 90 days, the market was up 45%. 45%. So when we, again, we go back to this, well, if the economic news, well, what shifted? What was the news that changed? Again, if this doesn't strike you and you mark it down and you say, I've got to remember this, you're not listening. There was nothing. There was no news. And the market turned. What was the big point of news here a few weeks ago? It's not a 45% move. I know. It's nothing. The move down was normal. Nothing.
Nothing, by the way. Nothing. But if you want to run around with your hair on fire, that's okay. It's what people do.
So what I want to do is I really want to change the dialogue. I want to talk about why this is an extraordinary time to invest. Extraordinary. Not because stocks are so cheap. Or are they? Not because the world has become a nicer, kinder, gentler place and I've got a whole bunch of economic data to hand to you. I don't. I've got tons of big picture things that I think about all the time. Because it helps me understand the trajectory of where we're going. And within that, then you can pull out the median picture. You know, for most people, it's not a median picture. It's so far off in the distance, they can't even fathom why you would even bother thinking about it. The aging of the world. Technology. You know, these are things that could take 5 to 10 years to really show up. That's not even on the radar screen. Why bother? I get that. But this is why I want to talk about this, because we all have to understand our own human dynamic. And the world we live in today is moving that dynamic further and further and further from our own personal mental health, from our own peace, and our own prosperity.
it takes us further and further away from that because we dive into the minutia. Who's breaking up with who in Hollywood? Wow. That's actually kind of frightening to me, that that's what is important to an overwhelming number of people. But that's a sociological problem. Now let's go into the economic side. How do you manage your money? How do you manage your thought process? How do you manage your goals for the next 20 and 30 years? How do you do that? How do you manage your goals for the next 20 or 30 years? Do we quickly pick up the paper and see what our portfolio did? Let me get the mouse. Check the computer. There it is. Boom. I have now have a net worth of X. Good day, bad day. Get out a glass of wine. Nope, bring out the whiskey because I'm going to get loaded. You can't believe how much money we lost tonight. Did we? Did we lose? Is that what happened in your business? The business changed so much that it was super depressing. Bring me the whiskey. I had the business appraised today. You cannot believe how much we lost at the business today. But pieces of paper trading in stocks, which are businesses. This is what we think is investing. And it's so super important. This is an extraordinary time. Human beings have never lived so long. I want to take the long-term picture. 20-plus years, what is the trajectory of the world? Nobody goes hungry, ever. Oh, yeah, we said that 20 years ago. That's kind of where we're going, isn't it? Huh. Kind of cool, isn't it? Really? I mean, step back. Step back. For those of you who are like, yeah, 50-plus. Did this look like a problem we would solve in our lifetime? No. But we are. We are. Imagine a world that's plugged in and wired and growing. Imagine now instead of just the United States coming up with all the ideas in the world, the whole world is. In small collaborative groups, perhaps connected by the internet, and living in all around the world. The world is cleaner than it's ever been. Yeah, I know. If you're on the far left, you don't believe that. That's okay. That's all right. I just know the film strips when we were growing up of the orange world and the certainty of that. So whatever certainty you live in is wrong because technology will resolve that. Always has. The medical fronts have been pushed out. This is only in a short period of time. For those of you who are 60, 50, 60 years old. You didn't grow up in a world with 150 channels of cable TV, cell phones in your pocket. Connected. You can Google stuff. You can learn about the medical condition you have and be a much more wise consumer of everything. We have much more abundance than imaginable. We have the Library of Congress at our fingertips. And some of us call it Google. It's an astounding leap forward that says, where are we going from here? It's going to be exponential. That's big picture. How do I invest with that? Well, you don't invest with that by wondering what the market's doing today. You don't. You don't. Common sense would tell you that. But I know common sense isn't common. And then when you mix in this over-reporting of figuring out what your net worth is every day or every week is silly. It's remarkable. Imagine, as Warren Buffett says it all the time, I love the way he says this, we don't care if the market's open or closed. And if you own something that you care if the market's open or closed, you shouldn't own it. Why would you care? You just bought a great corporation. It throws you dividends every quarter. They raise those dividends over time, some of them massively. We've talked about that before, and I'll be shifting to that in a moment. It's an extraordinary time. We have zero interest rates. Zero. You can go borrow money on your house for absurdly low levels. Well, it's all controlled. It's all this. It's all that. Okay. It's all bad. I have free money and it's bad. Okay. Write a headline. Never been better in my life, but it's bad. Okay. Slap a label on it. It's extraordinary that you can borrow money on your home for decades at interest rates that are on par with the yields from the great corporations in the world. That's extraordinary. This almost never happens. It almost never happens. It's extraordinary. I can fix a rate for 30 years, and today I get paid higher dividend yields in the great corporations of the world. That's extraordinary. That's not supposed to happen. You're supposed to have the great corporations yielding much less than borrowing money or bonds, if you will. Right, the 10-year treasury is at 1.8%, 1.85. That's where it is. That's what you get paid for 10 years worth of money, 1.85. 1.85. And I'm not going to give you names of companies because that just that isn't the point. Let's just say you know all the names. They've been around as long as you have. They're yielding more than the 1.85 now, and they've been raising their dividends your entire life. Not every year, although companies like, you know, Procter & Gamble, we've talked about, have done it for 59 years in a row. Doesn't matter. They may not do it next year. It's no guarantee. I'm talking about a basket of these companies, these great corporations. Yielding more than a 10-year treasury today. That's not supposed to happen. It's supposed to take time. You're supposed to get paid a lot less, and then it grows over time, and then you cross over, and finally you're getting paid more than fixed income. Not now. And in Europe, it's unbelievable. They even have negative interest rates, negative, negative, negative. Or what is a German bond? Now, 0.4, 0.4, 10-year, 10-year bond to 0.4. Yep, I want to own those. I wouldn't want to own, like, Siemens, Deutsche Telekom. Why would I own those yielding 4%? Why? I mean, come on. Don't you realize that there's China deficits, that Britain might leave? We got to deal with Greece still. I'm sure that'll pop up somewhere on somebody's radar screen or whatever the next Shemitah or Blood Moon is coming. Why would I do that? Because I can time it when it happens and we get, you know, the Blood Moon thing and then boom, and we got interest rates here. And that's okay because then at that point it'll be like I could get paid even more because you got to time. Because you're well-read and stuff. It's an extraordinary time to own the great corporations of the world. It's an extraordinary time. Super low interest rates, super low borrowing costs for those corporations. I know, it's financial engineering. What would you do with if you were the CEO, CFO of a company? And you're paying out massive dividends. And you could go out and borrow money after taxes for less than 1% and go buy the company's stock, which yielding, let's say it's yielding 3%. So I just did what? I just paid off what we consider, you know, you don't have to make a dividend payment, but it's an obligation, okay? We have this obligation to pay people this dividend of 3%. So we just bought back that obligation with 1% money. Huh. Wonder if we should do some of that. I mean, corporate profits are phony. Okay, whatever. Let's put a label on it. They're not making more stuff. They're not expanding factories and all that stuff. You're right. Not as much of that as we'd like. You're right. Does that make the money, the exchange, the reality of 1% interest rates, the reality of the yields that they're paying, did that make it wrong to buy back the stock? Is it all a big lie? Or is the money real? It's real. So we have this, because it's an extraordinary time, and borrowing, we have dividends and buybacks that are another enormous source of buying power in the market. And we have to fix on this. We'll talk about this for the next 4 weeks. Fixing on pulling away from the day-to-day prices and figuring out how to get this picture. And I really do have to go to a break. You're standing on an escalator, and you're not moving. You just stand. But the escalator moves for you, and it goes up steadily, constantly, year after year after year. And it moves faster than the escalator of inflation right next to it. The one that destroys the purchasing power. So you're much faster. 3 times faster, as a matter of fact. And let's picture that you're standing on that escalator with a yo-yo, tossing it up and down. That escalator is the income from the great corporations of the world. Steadily rising. Sometimes a little slower, sometimes really fast. But always at a clip quicker than the inflation. The yo-yo, of course, is a psychotic pricing mechanism of those assets, of those great corporations, which is untold. How can you buy the great corporations of the world? It's absurd. Well, I don't have billions of dollars. I don't have trillions of dollars. How could I buy great corporations in the world? Well, you shouldn't be able to. But for $50 a month, you get to. You can buy pieces of ownership of those businesses. You can. Well diversified, even globally. It's an income strategy. We've got to change the dialogue. Instead of playing the yo-yo, play the escalator, man. Play the escalator. Think different. Stop fussing. It doesn't do us any good to think, where am I going over the next 20 and 30 years? And then stop and grab your statement and go, I think we've lost X amount. What happened to my 100,000? How did it go to 95 in just a month? What happened inside that? Did the great corporations sell a little more stuff? Pay a little more in dividends or not? Is the world growing in abundance or not? Is it? Because at that point, you can turn off the rest of the economic news. Are we growing? The answer is yeah, we are. We have moments where we grow a little slower. We may even at some point have a global recession. But is the world a bigger place, a more abundant place than it was 5 years ago and 10 years ago and 20 years ago? And reshape our thought process. This is an income chase. Be the escalator. Don't be a yo-yo, man. Don't. It's not good for you. Our number is 580-5436. It's 580-KIDO. Please do give us a call. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back to take your calls, I hope.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. Matters with Dave Petso on Idaho's talk station, 580-KIDO.
Hello, welcome. I like that. That's a nice little pickup in the music there. That's good. Thank you for that, Ronaldo. Thank you. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Please do give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. There's got to be something going on out there in your minds, I would think. All right. So anyway, partly in a mind, Michael, thanks for the chuckle here. Yeah, I did know the origin, but I think it's worth sharing as well in this political season, of course. Dave, do you know the origin of the word politics? Poly is a Greek, the Greek word meaning many. And ticks are blood-sucking insects, just a thought. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate the thought, and absolutely, that's true. And it gets loud, and it's going to get louder. Isn't that going to be a fascinating it's going to feel like British politics, I think. Oh, yeah! You know how they yell at each other and stuff? I can't even imagine. The criminal and the talk show or the reality TV program guy in a debate. This will be very interesting. All right, and then from Mark. Dave, love your show. Listen every Saturday, but don't call much. Question. The various pundits and writers at USA Today, CNN, Yahoo Finance, that write articles saying that the sky is falling continuously, especially when the market corrections are 99% wrong. And they are. That's a really good point. It just doesn't matter how many times a guy like Peter Schiff, this is my point, a guy like Peter Schiff comes out and is wrong. He's wrong. He's wrong. And then he doubles down, and he doubles down again. And then even when they call him out on it, he just actually says, you know, it's just because people aren't as smart as I thought they would. He actually said that. I mean, it's just crazy. It's absolutely crazy. You're right. Great point, though. They're driving people out of their investments at lower points. Like you, it drives me nuts when I read the headlines. How do they rationalize their completely inaccurate prognostications when they are wrong so often? I'd get fired if I performed so poorly at my job. Mark and Meridian. Mark, I think you just said it so well, I probably can just leave it there. But, of course, I need to make some comment here, okay? Negative news sells. It does. And that's why we have to literally avoid it. The headlines are absurd. They are so absurd. It is absolutely mind-numbing to me that people govern their life, their feelings, their social commentary based on headlines. There is no depth. You know, I love reading Peggy Noonan just as an aside, okay? This is not, I'm a deep person. I love her political analysis Saturdays. It's the one thing, Saturday in the Wall Street Journal. It's the one thing on politics. I could do nothing, and I will know everything I need to know in one article from this deep-thinking, wise woman. But you can't have that in the headline. You can't. You have to stop once in a while and dig. I'm just using hers as an example, and I'm not saying you should read one thing. My point is if we don't have depth, we only have headlines, and that is a problem. But when we at least understand that whatever headline you're reading, and I do the same thing with the journal, I don't read everything in it, but I do read most all the headlines, right? Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, you know, this is going on in real estate. Don't care about downtown Chicago real estate. Got it. Boom. Read a few of those articles. But if you don't read some of them, you're going to have nothing but those negative headlines. You have got to coat yourself with like Teflon in your head. It's not all bad. That's why it's important to understand this and understand the trajectory of the world and to read great thinkers like John Templeton. You have to. And in our modern time, I think it's Peter Diamandis, who one of our listeners put me onto, wrote the book Abundance. We've got to be thinking forward about these things. And everything's moving exponentially. And if you can't put that in your head, it's kind of like, I'm sorry, I know this sounds really religious. I'm sorry, but it's like starting your day without some quiet time. If you just jump out of bed and you rush over and you turn on the news and it starts screaming at you how the world is all going to end, how am I going to have a right frame of mind to deal with people. I don't think we do. And I think we have to approach all of our news that way. So I would recommend that you think about the fact that everything being thrown at you is negative. Watch your mind. Watch your feelings. Watch what you're reading. And don't click on the ones that are just really absurd. This guy over here says we're all going to die. This famous economist over here says this is just the beginning. That's not what you want to read. Those are hyperbolic. Trying to make a point of you buying into their long-term vision. That's not what you want. That's not balance. Thanks again. What a great, great point. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And if you, too, would like to send an email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. We'll take a break here for Fox News. Plenty of time left in today's program, though, for your phone calls. Let's ring them up. Let's fill up the board. That's always fun, isn't it? Just have some quick interchange. Give us a few quick questions. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. Money Matters with Dave Petso on Idaho's talk station, 580-KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. Hey, please do give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. And if you do prefer email, that's okay. But, again, I was hoping we'd get kind of a back and forth here going with phone callers here. But and if you do prefer, that's dave@petsofinancial, P-E-T-S-O, financial.net. Don't try the .com, .net. So let's go to one of those. Could you please discuss the pending DOL fiduciary rule? It appears that it would really hurt small investors. Thank you. Thank you, Susan. Gosh, I actually went to D.C., I was going to say a year and a half ago. Maybe 2 years now. It was summer, year and a half ago. It was interesting, and we thought we'd killed this thing. And it was a very interesting process, by the way, and I know I've shared that, so I won't go back through that a lot. But it was a very interesting process to find out how many Democrats were against this. The Black caucus, the Hispanic caucus, and Republicans are against this because it does hurt the small investor. And that is a huge problem. It really does hurt the small investor. You say, why? Why would it hurt the small investor? And the answer is because people like me already aren't exactly targeting small investors. I think in as you look at the rule and you go, well, what's wrong with a fiduciary responsibility, a higher level of fiduciary responsibility? I agree. But more regulation might reach a point of too much cost, can't do. And that's really the problem. Does there need to be probably more regulation? Yeah. Well, you've heard me yelling and screaming for years about the lies that are propagated upon people, especially seniors, especially in the insurance space, meaning these equity index annuities that promise things they're not going to deliver, and regulations that don't allow regulators to get these clowns out. It's a bad environment, I understand, and now we got to fix it. But I just don't think a federal program to make sure that nobody can possibly go seek help at a small dollar amount is going to help. We already have a saving crisis in this country. We already can't get people to go and put money in a 401k. Going online to some website people aren't going to sit down and read that. They're not going to go, wow, you know what? After spending hours in understanding the markets and compounding of interest, boy, you know what? I get it now. I'm just really going to hunker down. They're not going to. They need life coaches. They need people in there cajoling them. No. Come on. You just got a raise. Give me some of that. Put it away. What's the matter with you? You can't spend it all now. We got a future to think about. All right. Okay. Here. I mean, that's what we need. If that goes away, I don't know. You see that? So in many ways, my big fear is this, right? Department of Labor, and this is the way they think, will lead to, I really believe it's what they think. I don't know what else the other conclusion is. They want to take over all of it. All of it. Big Mama government wants to take care of all of it for us. Wow. Really? That's terrible. Anyway, that's the problem with it in my mind, and I do think it terribly hurts the small investor. Large investors, doesn't matter. They all work on a fee basis anyway, which is a fiduciary responsibility, period. Thank you for the question. It's a great question, and we should hear virtually any day now how this is going to shake out. Let's go to Pat. Pat, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Hey there, David.
Hey there.
Yeah, that's what we need is more nanny states.
Yeah, I know. I need to know what music to listen to. I file a new statement. I now have health insurance. Yep, I signed up. There it is. I have to file that with my paperwork. I'll have to file that, that I made my mortgage on time, that I paid my car payment on time. It's amazing, isn't it?
Just annoying. That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I had a thought, and unfortunately I couldn't call this right away, but talked about balance of trade here in the last hour.
Yeah, yeah.
And I heard something that Walter E. Williams mentioned one time that just really lit up my thinking.
Mm-hmm.
He says there is no such thing as a balance of trade, because if we trade, say, 10,000 greenbacks for a Toyota car, we get their car. They get our greenbacks. We all agree that that is a fair trade, because mm-hmm. everybody comes away with a smile on their face at the end of the bargain.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no imbalance.
Right.
Not until, of course, if the government comes along and says, we're going to give you 10 million bushels of wheat, and we'll kind of loan it to you forever, and you don't have to pay us back. That's an imbalance.
Or they put a tariff on it that says you can do this car, but it's not 10,000. We charge you 2,000. It's 10, so now it's 12,000. They take 10. The government takes 2. Now you rob the economy.
Right, right. Government meddling is the worst thing that can happen. Absolutely. Yeah,
no, I like that. That's really good. Can I add to one little piece to that too, Pat? What we also miss is now you have 10,000 greenbacks. What are you going to do with it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, remember, so for years it was like the Japanese, when they start selling. So what did they do? They went and bought treasury bonds. They bought the Rockefeller Center. In other words, they bought assets, sometimes in America, sometimes probably in Brazil. Who cares? It's their choice. Yeah. But my point is then everybody was shaking in fear with all the treasury bonds they had. As soon as the Japanese sell, we're going to die. Forget I said that. Now it's the Chinese.
Yeah.
Forget I said that, because I know they've sold off half their bond positions. They've sold trillions, and interest rates did what? They declined. They
mm-hmm.
declined.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of the doomsday reports of because we're in, have a trade deficit of what happens when, they just don't come to pass, do they?
Yeah, does it remind you a little bit of the global warming, global cooling that you and I kind of went through the whole global cooling thing back in the 70s?
Unfortunately, my age would dictate that I did, yes.
Yeah, I know.
And the film strips of the orange world growing up, and you know, and yes, it, you know, there's no question we had to focus on it, but people just absolutely discount the fact that the Hudson River was so toxic when I was a teenager. That people mm-hmm. didn't walk beside it because for fear that the wind would catch a spray and throw them with toxic water. You can swim in the Hudson today. We have more people, but we don't want to admit that. We don't want to admit that L.A. looks awesome. And when you and I were growing up, it was horrible.
Oh, I remember driving in and your eyes started watering.
Correct, in any major city. And now it's better. And we can't stop putting ourselves down like we're all killing everything. I think it's sad, and I'm not saying we haven't worked at it, but technology is solving it. We should have honest discussions about it, not denying that the world is in a better place.
Yes, absolutely. There's so many things.
I know. But I love your balance of trade, Pat. That was a great analogy. I love that. I love and Williams is tremendous, so thanks for sharing that.
He is. He was always an inspiration.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, David.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
See you.
And we do have to take a quick break here. And when we come back, please do give us a call. The board is free. We've got plenty of time left in today's program to take your calls. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo. Dave is taking calls right now.
Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station.
Hello, welcome, and thank you again for joining us. 580-KIDO is our number, and somebody needs to join us online, that's for sure. We've got plenty of time left. I really thought there was so much going on in the world that, you know, from politics to Europe to emerging markets are bouncing back. Is that really the case now that the market's doing okay? People are less worried? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe that is it. That could be. But it's 580-KIDO. And in the meantime, let's jump over to emails because we've got a follow-up question from Mark. My real question is, do these writers and pundits know they are wrong? Do they know they're wrong? In other words, not just the commentary earlier, in case you just tuned in, that Mark had asked earlier, are people, well, let me just say here, okay? The various pundits and writers at USA Today and so on write articles that the sky is falling continuously, but they're wrong 99% of the time, okay? Now, the real point is do they know they're wrong so often? Do they truly know it, but rationalize it as you imply that they won't get read unless they write highly negative things? Agreed. I think that's the problem right there. Mark, I really do. They won't get read unless they do it. I think the editors know, for example. I think the editors are primarily responsible for making sure that the headlines are what they want them to be to get people to read the articles, particularly online. There's so much stuff there, and it's coming and going all day, and they want to pretend to be relevant. It's kind of like a Twitter world, right? It's like, I got to tweet about something. You know, oh, wow, look, the sky is clear right now. You know, it's this main thing. Instead of what happened on Saturday kind of story, right? It's got to be what's happening right now. And that's why we have Fed Governor Speaks. And that's why they have this instant update. And it is negative all of the time. There's no question. Do some of them, the most egregious, like the Peter Schiff's of the world, yes, they know that. They do know that they're wrong. Almost all the time. They do know that. And they don't care because they're trying to sell a newsletter. They're trying to sell gold. They're trying to sell you to visit their websites and to subscribe to their various newsletters, services, etc., or at least to be clicking in so that you, in fact, are buying off of their website your gold or whatever. In other words, if you visit the website and they have the dynamics that show we drive a lot of traffic here, then you should advertise your doom and gloom product on our website because we're driving that kind of traffic. So they do know that. They absolutely do know that. That, or they could, like Peter Schiff, I don't know, maybe he does have it's called cognitive dissonance, where you actually, the more you're wrong, the more you convince yourself you're right. And we've actually seen him do that, where he actually was asked by CNBC, well, you've been wrong about this U.S. dollar collapse. It's actually stronger than when you said that. And then he came back to say, I was only wrong short term. I just didn't anticipate how people really are so dumb they don't know what's going on in the world. Wow. In other words, yeah, my problem here is not that I'm wrong. The problem here is that people are too dumb. I'm too smart. I just outsmarted everybody. Wow. 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 Okay, but the problem is they still get press, and that's where it runs into the big, big problems. People like John Templeton took decades to be legends. Decades to be legends. Because they thought forward. They thought in generational terms. Warren Buffett is about it. He's the only guy that for a long time has been famous being a long-term thinker. But he sure wasn't 50 years ago when he started. Right? It's like the old saying, right? It took a good 20 years to become an overnight success. We have to rethink ourselves. It's a very great point. But these guys do know they're wrong, the ones that make a living being out there talking about the sky is falling, writing books about it, things like that. They know they're wrong. The headline writers, I don't think they have any idea whether they're right or wrong. They don't care. They just know how to write headlines. Most of them are just editors. They don't know anything about finance. Nothing. Nothing. If you know anything about finance, you don't write about finance. You go make money in finance. Let's go to another one. Dave, does the market attract new investors when there are corrections? Thanks, Steve. Steve, thank you very much. Hey, That's a great question, really. It really is. Does it attract? Well, it should. It should. Now all of a sudden we've got things that make a lot of sense, right? At this price level? Wow. They do. And the answer is they don't. Markets don't attract people except when they run higher. And then new investors step in. And it happens over and over all the days of our life. They step in at the top. They swear off stocks after they go down. Wait till they recover again. Or they run over into flipping condos in Florida in 2006. They chase. It's what human beings do. So no, I wish it did, but it doesn't. It doesn't. It does not. I wish it did. I mean, imagine that. Let me give you one analogy to kind of think about as we wrap up today. Okay? This is true for us, not just new investors. It's so true. Did you write a check a couple weeks into January? Did you? Did you send it in? Did you go out and buy more of the great corporations in the world, some of which were on sale for 20 and 30% off? See, what this would be like, I go to a store. And I go to the store, and they're having a great sale. I go to Macy's, and I go buy a suit. Get a nice tie to go with it, a couple shirts. Get some hot pants. Maybe throw some shoes in there. I mean, it's a men's sale. This is awesome, right? Like, it's like a third off everything in the rack. It's great. And I walk up to the counter, and I hand my stuff over, and I say, would you do me a favor? Would you mind hanging on to all of this? I love this stuff. And then when the sale is off, would you call me back? I'll come in and buy it. Well, that's absurd. Is it? Well, what do you do at the store when tuna fish is on sale? What do you do at the store when you have a 2-for-1 on T-bones? That's like your favorite steak. Do you buy some extra and throw it in the freezer? Or you say, I don't want any T-bones right now. No. No, I don't like hamburgers much, but yeah, you know, it's fully priced. I think I'll buy some of that. We absolutely would buy on sale, but not with stocks. We don't do it. We don't do it by buying the businesses of the great corporations of the world. We just won't do it. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.